Hey, welcome to the Social Expedition.
Welcome, number 57.
57. That's like a Heinz thing. Isn't that like, remember, it was a Heinz steak sauce.
The ketchup.
Is it still around?
Ah, yeah. It's a special number you hit. You know that secret?
Oh no.
So supposedly on the bottle, where the 57 is the magic place to hit it to get the sauce to come out.
I didn't know that. Oh, now I want to go buy a bottle
to
knock it.
Come on, guys.
But now, don't go to the grocery stores now and do this. You know, buy the bottle of Heinz 57 first, take it in the parking lot, then hit the 57.
Well, you'd probably have to find it in a restaurant because, you know, most grocery stores are going to have it in the plastic version.
Yeah.
But next time you're at a restaurant.
Oh, so
like Steak and Shake or something like that.
That's good. Yeah. I like the plastic squeezable ones.
Yeah.
You know?
Me too. But yeah, that makes sense.
I'm talking steak sauce here.
I'm talking ketchup.
Great.
Let's talk technology and social media.
Okay.
Dude, you take your social media in a squeezable plastic bottle?
And then I hit it to make it come out. What?
The
and
secret,
put it on fries.
What?
I don't know.
It is warp speed here at 2011 already. I mean, everybody I talk to says the year is going by so fast.
I love 2011. 2011 is my favorite.
Time out. Completely off topic yet again. But have you heard about the zodiac signs changing suddenly today?
That's ridiculous.
I was a Cancer yesterday, and today I'm a Gemini.
I was a Taurus. I'm still a Taurus. I'm not still a Taurus. They say I'm an Aries, but I maintain I'm a Taurus, which in and of itself proves that I'm a Taurus.
There you go.
So wait, you were a Cancer and now you're a Gemini?
Yes. Oh. My life has changed with this with the rotating of an axis.
Wow.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. Supposedly the research was off kilter before. They surveyed the rotation of the Earth or Moon or
whatever. They just changed the dates. Like,
yeah. They bumped them up a little
constitute
bit.
Constitute each sign.
But pretty significantly because... Yeah.
It's a man-made line in the sand.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that it, kind of it?
Well, it has something to do with the stars and the constellations.
Okay. Speaking of those, if you listen to this here and you get out early in the morning, Venus is making a fantastic appearance in the southeast part of the sky. She's just out there being extraordinary.
And is that... Today or tomorrow morning or?
No, you know, right now.
Oh, okay.
For the next little bit here, you know.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, gorgeous stuff. Yeah, so being into all that kind of thing and being able to use that Google Sky Map app
on
Android is fantastic. You know, I don't look at the sky the same way as, you know, anymore. You know, so it's changed the way I look at the sky.
And
you
can literally.
Literally.
And you can find things now.
And you can actually be inside your living room. Using the sky map, they point it up at the sky and see things in the nice heated environment.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the point?
I would much rather you get outside and experience the nice brisk,
but just in case
nostril hair stiffening cold that we have going on right now.
It is very Memphis. Good lord!
You know, I've got friends up in Maine, and I was looking at their photos last night because they got nice big snow up in the
like
Northeast.
3 feet or something, right?
It was crazy, but they were still about 15 degrees warmer than we were last night because we were down to what 12 or 13
something like ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, and it was just barely 30.
I ran this morning, and it was 15 degrees.
That's because you're stupid.
It's because I'm awesome. I ran 3 miles in 15 degrees.
In line.
Yes, I've got this.
Now, do you use the any social stuff with that? You know, some people have these Nike shoes that tweet out their distance or make Facebook update. Do you indulge in such mechanisms?
I don't have a social app. I have Indomondo. It's an app, and it will track your running, and then it like shoots all of that information to your account online, and you can kind of track your runs online. I don't use it religiously. I'm very good about keeping on schedule, so I don't have to hold myself accountable online or on a social website. But yeah, I definitely see the utility in that. Like, you know, a lot of people can't have a running buddy right there with them, but you know, if they've got someone online that they track their runs with and hold themselves accountable. Same thing with like online weight loss sites.
Mm-hmm. That accountability is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's also, I don't know, I think it's very inspiring. Not only are you being accountable, but you're also at the same time you're inspiring other people to go out and do the same thing or keep up with you or keep up to their commitment.
Well, I would totally imagine that on one of those sites, if someone who's had great success, you know, went from couch potato to half marathon runner, mm-hmm. has detailed...
There's literally an app for that, you know.
Has got
couch to 5K.
Yeah. has got a log of their progress online, and you can see that and see, you know, how long it took them to work towards that. You can see, oh, that's actually something that can be done. It's not just for people who are already in great shape or something like that. Yeah. You can see real people really doing it.
Yeah, the already in great shape people, to me, they're not very inspiring.
No.
The people who are like me, those are the ones that are inspiring to me. You know?
Ainsley's like, not inspiring.
You guys didn't know me when I was out of shape. That's not fair.
Just kidding. But yeah. So actually, not to plug one particular app, but I have heard a lot of people say that Couch to 5K is actually a very reliable program or, you know, regimen.
So your middle name is App, right?
Me?
Otherwise, you are...
What?
Segue
into... Yeah. Into
introducing yourself.
Oh. My name is Rachel Smith.
Rachel the App Smith.
That was a really, really rough transition.
I go for the tangents sometimes, and they're not always smooth.
And,
you know?
And I'm saying segue.
Wear a helmet. Segue. Fasten your seatbelts.
And I'm Ansley Phones.
And I'm Dave Barter.
And we're with LunaWeb.
We're all here at LunaWeb. And I was actually here Monday for the big snow. And It was nice. It was pretty. It was fun to kind of look outside here. There's actually a small hill, and so I was waiting with the camera for idiotic type vehicular maneuvers to go on down here, and I didn't see anything good. You know? It was actually more fun with the heavy rains that some of the cars floated their way through the small valley here. But
pleasure from other people's pain, Dave. Shame on you. That's why I came.
It's
to the
entertainment.
Office.
No. Nobody was going fast enough to actually have any pain, but dents were imminent. But they didn't happen. It's just so weird to 48 hours or 36 hours later to go out there and see all the snow's gone off the streets. Yeah. You know,
but that's a great thing about Memphis.
That's true.
Well, of course, you know, in other cities where it snows more often, they have plows. So you know, within like 2 hours, the snow starts getting cleared off the roads. So. You know, Memphis just doesn't have plows because we so rarely need them.
Did you guys sled?
I did not.
Matt, Rachel, did you get out?
I was working hard. Hard for you. Actually, I didn't. The night before, I have several friends who live in my neighborhood, so we attempted sliding down the road, on top of the ice. Didn't work. You know? I gave it, one shot. It's just the snow, snow activities just aren't as fun to me as they used to be.
Yeah.
Unless I'm on on the actual slopes or something. Like,
cold
then
and
I'll
wet?
Participate. But horrible. This, southern snow, let me look at it. Even on Monday, I didn't even open my blinds. I even forgot midway through the day that it actually snowed.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was just like,
I opened all the blinds here in the office. You may have noticed when you came in on Tuesday, all the windows were
wide. I did. I had to shut them.
That was to see all the whiteness out there.
Yeah.
It was great. Well, I made it home in time. Left, I don't know, about 4:30, 5 o'clock, got home in time to do a little sledding with the kids, and it was great.
Yeah, you had a blast. Did you sled yourself?
Oh, yeah, of course. I can't help it.
Man. I think I saw your tweet about some injuries.
I kind of did the running and then jump onto the sled so you get a good head start. Because there's not really good hills around.
Right.
So you got to kind of create your own gravity.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So the impact, gravity seems to affect me more now than it did last time I went sledding. So.
You know, you'd fall just as fast.
Not the fall that hurts you. Yeah.
So, hey, what's going on in the world of social?
In social?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah.
What's up with some location-based services? I saw you had some news.
Yeah, well, I just saw this press release about 15 minutes ago, which was that Foursquare has released an ambassador program. So if you're a heavy Foursquare user in, say, Memphis, and you want to recruit either users or businesses, technically this is aimed towards businesses, but... If you want to recruit some businesses onto Foursquare and have them start promoting some specials, you can actually sort of advocate or be an ambassador for Foursquare. You sign up on their website. You give a little short little, hey, this is why I'm interested in doing this. They'll send you a package. I have no idea what is in that package. Hopefully nothing suspicious, but, just some materials. And there you go. You're a Foursquare ambassador.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of Scavenger has the option to be a builder.
Yeah.
To create, out there creating treks and mm-hmm. this type of thing.
Yeah, that's the concept behind it. So,
okay.
Should be interesting to see who in Memphis takes notice and actually does something with that. I applied, so we'll see what happens.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, so obviously, the enthusiasts, the people who are excited about Foursquare, make the greatest ambassadors for it.
Yeah.
So. Seeing more and more type things out there. Hey, on that location-based services note, I know last time we talked about Yelp has you can be the Duke.
Mm-hmm. The Duke.
Yes, but I checked in someplace the other day with Yelp, and there was a woman who was the Duke, but evidently...
Duchess?
She was the Duchess, yes.
I love it!
I do too.
I love it!
That's cute.
That is so cute.
Yeah, so if you have Yelp, if you've been using Yelp for years, you know, now you can check in on it with their app. Very good.
And yeah. They've got that really awesome monocle program where you kind of hold up your phone and
augmented
reality. They've got a really good one. So I really like their app. Has anyone noticed, and this might not be new, I might have just missed the boat on this, YouTube now has a queue where you can add videos to a queue and it shows up on this bar along the bottom of your screen, and so it shows you all the videos that you know you want to watch. So if you're watching a video and you're in the middle of it and there's a video on like the related videos over to the right, mm-hmm. there's a little button that says you can add it to the queue, and you can it just like floats it down to this little toolbar at the bottom that you can remember to watch that or watch it later, you know, if you're signed into your mm-hmm. account and you don't have time right then. And I thought that was a really great little feature. It's like a Netflix instant queue, but for YouTube.
That's interesting.
Huh. Speaking of watch it later, did one of you use that Read It Later app?
No.
There was a great story that came out, in, I think it was TechCrunch, and they were kind of showing some graphs about when people read articles. And the time of day that people read articles on a desktop is pretty uniform. You know, throughout, let's say...
Right
you know,
about now.
You know.
That's when I start reading them. I do my research, like, either early in the morning when I don't have anything to do, or, like, right about now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, on the Read It Later type thing, and looking at how people read articles on iPads and iPhones and mobile devices, there's this little spike in the morning, and then there's this spike late at night, like, you know, mm-hmm. 7 to 9 o'clock. You know, and I don't know, you know, what if this is Pacific time, or if they normalized the time zones on this thing or what, but it was kind of interesting to see how people are... They're pushing this, I don't have to read it now, I can read it later on my own time when I want to read it, type information on their mobile devices. So it's just, people are seeing more and more that it's just a whole different experience. It's not just the same things that you would see on a computer on a little screen. I mean, mm-hmm. people's behavior is totally different in the way that they're, you know, using this stuff. At the breakfast, I don't know if we actually got to talk about it or not, but I think one of the things as far as over in prediction land, something that would be useful, and I think something that we'll see someday is where you'll be able to say, hey, you know, that opt-in email that I get about location-based services, I want to get it at 8 o'clock at night. Mm. Quit sending it to me during the middle of the day because I can't help myself but look at it, you know, and I don't need the distraction. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to get my stuff done. You know, but being able to specify not only what comes at you, but when it comes at you.
I would like a digest service, you know, where I could, and it could be something through Gmail, I feel, where you could have a bunch of emails consolidated, you know, maybe you set up a filter so that, you know, it filters these certain messages, and then you have them all condensed into one email that gets sent to you once a day.
Yeah.
That'd be a cool feature for something like Gmail or a third-party app to develop. I would like that a lot.
Do you guys use the favorite tool in Twitter at all?
Oh, no. I wear it out, my friend.
That's sort of how I do my reading. Like, if I see a tweet and I don't have time to read it, I'll just favorite it, and then I usually clean them out at the end of the day when I actually do have time.
Oh, you do clean them out?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, unless it's something that I'm going to refer back to later, mm-hmm. then yeah, I'll clean it out just to sort of like let myself know, yeah, I've read this. I've been there and done that. So
I should do that because I miss so many videos. I just never think of favoriting.
That's exactly how
them.
I do it. It's sort of like my little RSS feed now.
Oh, okay.
I feel guilty about watching extraneous videos while I'm getting paid to work here. So
yeah, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, bring that conscious to work. It's good. You know, maybe we can link to our favorites on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll have to make some.
Because I tell you, the way that I use mine, because I have let people on, you know, on Facebook know this, that, hey, articles that I find interesting, instead of bombarding everybody, you know, I'm favoriting them on Twitter. Mm. And the way that I'm doing that is I use Flipboard. in Flipboard, as long as I'm authenticated into Twitter, as I see an article that I find interesting, I just click a button and it just adds it to my favorite. I don't have to go bouncing over to Twitter or anything like that.
Cool.
Very cool. Especially since, you know, we were talking about the whole, you know, fitness thing and all that jazz. When I'm normally using Flipboard is while I'm at the gym. And I have my iPad sitting up there, so I can do a lot of reading, no problem, and be able to zoom in and make the letters bigger so I can read them while, you know, I'm moving around. So I can favorite things. So it's very hard for me to actually send emails, very accurate ones, while using the elliptical.
Right.
But that's where I do this. And there was I saw somebody tweeting earlier about, you know, iPhone is going over, Verizon's going to have the iPhone.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
And then Verizon has the, you know, the turn your Android into a hotspot upgrade feature. And then, so there's a lot of conversation going on now about, well, is there really any utility in this? I just wanted to kind of share my experience on this, having a hotspot. I have an Android phone. I pay the extra, I think it's $20 a month to Verizon to turn it into a hotspot. I've got the iPad, the original iPad, that is the non-3G.
Wi-Fi only?
Yes, it's Wi-Fi only. So when I'm at the gym, I take my phone and the iPad, turn the phone on, turn it into the hotspot, and then I'm able to check email, browse.
The gym doesn't have wireless?
The gym does not have wireless. Hmm. That would be great if it did.
Yeah, but at least you can accomplish that still.
Yeah.
See, not to impugn your experience with the 3G hotspot, but I had the 3G hotspot for a while, and I found it unreliable.
Oh, okay.
I found it to not even deliver enough Wi-Fi a lot of times to run my iPad on, let alone my computer. But, you know, I've got to have a different phone than you do, and yeah. I was also using
it. You get the HTC.
Yes.
Droid Incredible?
Yes, the Droid Incredible. And you've got the Droid 2?
Yep.
And I was using it down in Orlando when I was in Disney World, because the hotel we were staying in for Disney World did not have Wi-Fi. They had a Ethernet connection, which I wasn't the one paying for the room, so I didn't get the Ethernet connection, was the moral of the story. And I found that I much preferred just to check my email right on my phone, and that's pretty much all I did with my internet while I was gone, because, you know, I was in Disney World, and there were funner things to do.
More funner, absolutely.
More
get
funner.
Put the computer down, get offline, go get into the Magic Kingdom, right?
But I would try it with your phone and with your devices, because, you know, if you had a good experience with it, Dave, that sounds like one of the most convenient things in the world, to just have a hotspot with you wherever you go. Yeah.
There is I don't know what the cap is. There is a maximum amount of bandwidth that you can use per month.
I believe it's 2 gigabytes.
2 gigabytes, okay. Yeah. But I mean, you know, email, just reading type things. I'm not streaming any videos or anything like that.
Yeah.
Obviously no Flash. But you know, it still has YouTube on there. But I don't do anything heavy bandwidth. Just I'm just reading things on there. So anyway, I don't know how we got to that.
But Verizon iPhone, very exciting.
Yeah.
With the 3G stuff. And also, apparently, AT&T may offer the 3G hotspot for the iPhone as well.
I actually think it's an issue of when.
When? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
So I think, just because I think AT&T is definitely doing their part in trying to keep their users. So I think the Verizon phone will have it first. I think even with the February 10th release, is that when it is?
It's February 3rd for current Verizon customers who are online. February 10th for everyone.
And how much is the phone?
The phone is $200 for the 16 gigabyte, and it's $300 for the... No, do I have that backwards? Yes. 16 gigabytes for $200, $300 for the 32 gigabyte with a two-year contract. It's a... Yeah, it's coming out. I'm really excited about it.
So for people who aren't familiar with do I get the 16 or the 32 gigabyte? It's kind of the rule of thumb, like, okay, if you're wondering, if you have to wonder, you're going with the 16.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because you're probably not a power user that has, you know, I don't know how many umpteen dozens of albums or songs or, you know, content that you're going to store on your iPhone.
Right. I'm sad about the fact that there's no external memory. You know, you can't use a mini SD or a micro SD, I guess, would be what you used. You know, I think that would be very un-Apple, but it'd be awesome if you could pack it in with your extra SD card.
Well, iTunes is supposedly moving to the cloud, so I guess that would solve that.
Is it?
That's awesome. A rumor. I really should probably research that before I say such lofty things. I've heard that.
That would be the best thing in the world.
Yeah. Because I have suffered that loss twice now.
That would solve all my problems.
Yeah.
Like, all the problems in my life would be solved.
It was like a pet dying. It was absolutely awful.
All comments or statements officially, relayed on this program are not the official blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Asterisk by that note.
Speaking about these side notes, we interrupt this regular programming here to talk real quick about 48-hour launch, which is coming up in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right, big deal. It's a big deal. It is. And it's if you've not heard of it before, it's a fantastic opportunity to work with some people who have some great ideas, or if you have a great idea, it's a fantastic opportunity to get it out there and work with some great people to help turn your great idea into a reality.
And there's prize money.
$15,000 of it.
$15,000.
Yeah.
So what's up with that? You got the specs on it?
The specs would be that it's a seed hatchery fund coming from Launch Memphis, and it goes to the top quote unquote winner of 48-hour launch. Whoever has the best idea will get that money.
So the 48-hour launch is a Launch Memphis event. Seed Hatchery, I believe, is a major sponsor, and the $15,000 is a Seed Hatchery thing, and there's a Launch Memphis connection there. But it's great that these investors have stepped up and have agreed to be a part of this and have really help with some financial contribution, to the immense talent that's already going to be there, grow legs on some lucky idea.
Exactly.
And at the end of the weekend, it's not that everybody there, and as somebody was asking me earlier today, how many people usually show up? I want to say like 75 to 100 is what I've seen there normally. And it's not that all 75 to 100 people are working on one idea. There are multiple ideas. And pretty much if you just have some talent to offer, and you don't have the entrepreneurial idea, you just have some talent to offer and you want to be part of this, this fantastic experience, you get to choose whatever idea you want to spend your weekend working on.
Yeah.
So it's great. It really is.
And there's also a pre-48-hour launch event where you can actually go and hear some of the ideas that will be presented there.
Mm-hmm. And kind of help people pitch their ideas.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And even figure out, if you would like to go, or, maybe let you have some time to get some research done before you show up, if you're willing to, work or... So anyway, that's a good idea.
I believe that is on the 20th, the pitch night.
Yeah, it is.
Double-check launchmemphis.com.
And that's a Thursday.
Well, Thursday. I'm sorry. The 20th is a Thursday.
Thursday.
That's for the pitch night. It's kind of like a pre-event to kind of help you refine things, I don't know, get your toe in the water. But the actual 48-hour launch starts the following Friday.
The 28th.
Yes. And goes Friday night, Saturday night, not all night, unless you want to. And some people do. You can actually stay there at the eMERGE building, which is hosting the event.
Bring some sleeping bags.
You can, absolutely.
And the prize money is great, but it seems like the real benefit of it is just to kickstart your idea or, to get involved that time. Setting aside this weekend to...
Community, networking, everything will be there.
So in addition to working with the startups, you will also work with other people who are, community-minded and are looking to collaborate and make some great connections.
Yeah.
Hope to see you there. So, hey, we also have next week, that same night as pitch night, just now realized, is Twilight Camp here at Luna Web.
Uh-oh. From 5:30 to 7:30. Mm-hmm. And I will be here.
I will be here. I think Rachel's...
We can carpool over.
Yeah. We need to look at times and see how that could work. It'd be great to be able to make both.
But Twilight Camp will happen. I'll be here at the very least.
And so Twilight Camp, just kind of talking about, because there's more and more meetups all the time, and I know people get confused. Twilight Camp is one of two meetups of the Social Expedition. And it's the more informal meetup that we have in the evenings, usually about the third Thursday or so of the month here at Luna Web. Starting at 5:30, go until 7:30. Sometimes it's gone to 8, and it's a very casual. There's not an agenda put together specifically for Twilight Camp.
We've had ones that are very techie, where people bring their iPads and we talk about apps and things like that. But we've also had Twilight Camps where we get a lot of people who are new to social media who come and ask us a lot of questions, and we're happy to have both and any and all between. So,
And it's great because you have these people who are coming. What I've liked about this is people who show up and it's not just us that are answering their questions. They have a whole room full of people who are offering tidbits and insights and recommendations on what they should be doing. So it's kind of a look at it. It's called peer sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one of the meetups at Twilight Camp. The other meetup that the Social Expedition has is the Social Expedition Breakfast, which is the first Wednesday of each month. We have that over at the Holiday Inn at the University of Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Great buffet.
And, oh, yeah, there's raving reviews on the breakfast there always. And it's more structured. We have an agenda there. We have time to mix, then we usually have a presenter. And then after that, we break up into roundtable discussions that are actually crowdsourced.
And our next one of those is on February 2nd at 7:30 a.m. to about 9:30 a.m. And we do not have a speaker yet. You know, we'll let you know as soon as that's pinned down.
Never been a hindrance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guys and gals, that's 12 days before Valentine's Day, so be thinking about it. Start stressing now.
True. I bet there's a good, like, virtual flowers app.
An app for that's not going to cover you.
No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I would not want to be anyone's girlfriend on the day they give me an app with flowers on it.
But they have shown. I think it was, what was the name of that site? Hot or Not, where you could buy somebody virtual flowers on there, and it actually, they studied this, they watched it. The guys that came up with the idea thought it was kind of silly, but it actually worked, and people were paying for these virtual flowers that actually got women to take a second look at them, and for many of them,
virtual flowers.
Yeah, because it showed that this guy was actually interested in this person. It wasn't, they didn't just,
but not interested enough to send real flowers.
But so they paid.
Well, they didn't have to give their address.
They paid money for the flowers.
Oh.
Yeah, these are not free virtual flowers. These are, you know, these are classy virtual flowers.
Like, you wouldn't give some guy your address to send you real flowers just to prove he's interested.
Yeah. Yes, I would.
On a site called Hot or Not.
I may have the site mixed up. But,
Hot or Not. That sounds like the original Facebook, actually.
It does.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about Hot or Not, I don't even know if it's still around. But
one of the things I like about it. Dang.
Yeah, well, we got to do a lot of research. It was like, wait.
That's why you were on that site.
Yeah. So was this these people, you created a profile, and then you picked your brands, you know, things that you liked. So let's say you're a Diet Coke versus a Pepsi person. There was a little swatch of logos that was on there. It was great. Oh, it was, because, you know, really it kind of shows, you know, are you a Led Zeppelin brand, you know, or are you a
Diet Coke versus
pink?
Pepsi has never been a deal breaker in my relationship.
Well, okay.
I'm sorry, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I just can't see the benefit.
I'm not saying it was useful. I just thought it was neat.
We should have one for, like, geeks. It's like Apple or Android.
There
PC
you go.
Or Mac.
See, there
you,
yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
That I could invest my time in.
You know, lately,
Facebook,
you know,
or Twitter.
You know, lately it's like gun control. You know, it's like, are you for it or not? You know?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, a lot of polarizing types of things that you can claim. You know, fly your flag there on this site, but visually with the logo, I thought that was good. It wasn't just the word. You know, it was good.
Logos.
So
now
like
you're gonna have to go check out Hot or Not. See if it's still around.
Yeah.
Thanks to good day for
these guys. These guys are pioneers. The Hot or Not guys, really. These are like the early days of social
of eHarmony.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Twilight Camp next Thursday on the 20th, and come to the breakfast on the 2nd.
And come to 48-hour launch.
Oh,
and the 48-hour launch.
And pay attention to Launch Memphis. You know, there was another tweet up thing, a meetup the other day for tech, MemTech.
MemTech lunch.
It was a lunch. So you've heard of tech coffee. Well, now there's a tech lunch, and then coming soon, a tech cocktail. I don't know, you know, what the details
are. That sounds like the one I want to go to.
Lots of connecting going on. Make sure you're part of it. Don't miss out.
Yeah.
See you there.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency, meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.